to. So you're like me, I have more time than I have money.
I'm the audio video man.
I do very much appreciate the invitation of the church and Brother Green to come down and spend this time with you. It's been a great blessing to me. I love coming to this church for lots of reasons. It reminds me of my own, for one, and it is always a blessing to me to see the Lord continuing His work wherever He's at. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people be discouraged by numbers, but the Lord Jesus came out with 12, and one of them was a devil. So I don't think a handful of believers is a bad thing, do you?
Right, amen.
All right, we ready, brother? All right, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask that you turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 28. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 28. The Bible says, "These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh one that is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest in Israel, therefore I'm come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your book. God, we thank you for what a blessing it's been for us down through the years. What a thing to make our lives steady when chaos is all around. God, we pray that you would bless this morning, that you would manifest yourself, Lord, and that you'd be honored in what we say and what we do, and we'd be faithful to give you the praise for it is in Christ's name we do ask. Amen. Now, we'll be preaching this morning on a very simple thought. Have you seen Jesus? Have you beheld the Lamb of God? Do you know who He is? Now, we live in a very visual world today, and I go back whenever, you know, these things didn't exist, and the only time you saw TV is when it was on TV, because there was no VCRs or DVDs or all the crazy stuff that they have today. So a lot of our pastime was reading, and sometimes you got to see pictures. Now, unfortunately, when we think of Jesus today, a lot of people want to see the long-haired hippie with hair down to here. Listen, dear friend, that's not Jesus.
Amen.
You know what? I'll even go further, and I don't know that we can really conceptualize the look of Jesus, but being Jewish, I would say he was somewhat dark skinned, and I don't think that he had a reddish brown long hair. Probably his hair was as dark as mine or darker. And you know what the concept of that verse is not looking at the person of Christ, but looking at who he is. Now, right now, I'm your typical Baptist preacher with my Sundays on with a tie, and it's easy to identify. And I can't remember when Brother David was with me. Did you see me in my scrubs when you came to visit? Okay. And when you saw me in my scrubs, what did I look like? I hope I look like a nurse. Because that's how I make a living. Listen, you preach like I do, you're not going to make a living at it. And so you have to have, you know, bivocational is the word. And I've been that for 35 years. And so my other job as a nurse, You know how people identify me as a nurse? It's because it's what I look like.
Right.
It's how I present. And if I said, Adam Wayne Lafferty, you get in here right now. Now I've moved over to dad mode.
Right.
Right? Because that's another role that I have. So as John the Baptist is saying here, he said, behold the Lamb of God. In other words, have you seen him in the role as the Lamb?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's crucial. All the redeemed better say to me in that, amen.
Amen.
Because if you haven't seen him as the Lamb, you're probably still lost.
Yeah.
Because I think it's two things in the regeneration of mankind. That is, once, to make him spiritually living again, see his sinful condition, and when he does that by the Spirit of God, he will cry out for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He will see him as the Lamb of God. So as John is having his normal day, says that he was baptizing in the river Jordan, that Jesus came to be baptized of him. Now the Gospel of Matthew, the very same passage, says that John said to Jesus, I need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But, and this is an aside study for this week, Christ thought baptism to be important.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
It wasn't regenerational.
Right.
That's an impossibility, but it was important. So we need to study baptism and understand its role and meaning. But that's not the purpose of my sermon this morning. But you know, I'm not real familiar with this area. But the Lord Jesus walked a long time to get scriptural baptism.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, when I was a kid, we didn't even own a car, so walking was, you walked or you stayed at home. That was two choices. And so I walked a lot coming up. But you know what? I never did walk 60 miles. Roughly from where I live to Nashville, Tennessee, is 70 miles. I've never walked to Nashville from Dover, and I don't want to. But you know, if there was something important, something spiritually integral, I believe I would.
Yeah.
I believe I would. And so, you think about this week, and that's easy. Take that off my time, because it didn't count. And but baptism has a role. So you can look at that this week. So we find the Lord Jesus, we find John the Baptist looking toward the Lord Jesus and saying, behold the Lamb of God. Now, the Lamb was something a Jewish person intrinsically understood. That was the annual sacrifice. That was when one time a year, the high priest would go into the holies of holies, and he would offer a blood sacrifice for the sin of the nation for that one year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is the difference between then and now. The next year was always rolling around.
Right.
And it had to be done again. 2024 is coming up. The Lord doesn't come before then. 2025 will be forward from it. And on we go. And if we were still under Jewish law, every year we'd be having to groom the lamb.
Yeah.
For the event to come. And so I want you to see that when John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, there was a great deal of integrity. It was prophecy being fulfilled. And you know what? They were skeptical of it. You know what? We have never lived in a day as skeptical of this book as right. It is today.
Yes.
People question it continually. You know what? And also the new thing, let's just change it. Change it to our suit. Change it to our suiting. People don't like preaching against ungodly living. Let's take that portion out. Let's replace it with something that's nicer. But I want you to see in this text, he was just, behold the Lamb of God. You know what a Lamb of God is. You know what the Redeemer is going to be. Who that he's coming. This is him. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh one that is preferred before me. If you underline in your Bible, for he was before me.
Yes.
Now, why that is integral, he recognized Christ as God.
Amen.
Because you know what we do know carnally, John, at least in the flesh, was 6 months older than Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? So he could have been talking about it that way. But he said he was before me. He's always been, always will be, forevermore, a person of the Godhead. That's Jesus.
Amen.
And so, as John the Baptist is pointing toward him, he says, look, that's who he is. You know, what a sweet, glorious day when I beheld Jesus the first time. Now, living from the hills of Tennessee, you know what? I don't ever remember not hearing the name of Jesus. I could not tell you the first time Christ was named to me because I don't remember it. I was too small.
Yeah.
But you know what? That didn't mean that I knew Jesus.
Amen.
I knew about him.
Yeah.
I've heard the name Jesus, but I didn't know him. And so, a lot of the people that John was speaking to on this day when he said, behold the Lamb of God, they saw him.
Mm-hmm.
But the best we can tell from the Word of God, they were never saved.
Yeah.
You know, I believe we live in a day and an age today where we hear a whole lot about Jesus. And there are very few genuine believers.
Yeah.
You want to know what a trademark of a true believer is? They don't get offended by the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah.
What does the Bible say in John 1:1 at the beginning of the very text we just read? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
So if you get offended by the Word of God, you're getting offended at God.
Yeah.
Right? If that text means what it says, right? And I certainly believe that it does. And so we see that John the Baptist was excited because he had seen God. Have you ever had a high time? Surely, you know, during your walk with Christ, there's been good, good times. There's mountaintops, experiences, things you look back on and you bless the name of Jesus for because you got to experience that and you added to your timetable of how good God's been. That's where John was. He was on the top of the top. I've seen the Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? You need to see him too.
Yes.
Listen, this easy believism junk that has taken the American Christianity down to nothing will not redeem you.
Amen.
I don't mean to be a party pooper, but that doesn't mean that you know Christ.
Right.
You know, I told some of the brethren yesterday that now they're down to accept that you're a sinner. You know what? Whether you accept it or not, you're a sinner.
Amen.
Right? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the new quick way of salvation. You know what? The Bible says that even the devils believe and tremble.
That's right.
So what does that have to do with redemption? Nothing. Confess that you're a sinner. That might be an indication of salvation. But you see what I'm saying? What we've reduced salvation down to is logic. You know what this is up here? It's just as corrupt as the rest of me. Knowing the Lord is not logic. Knowing the Lord is right here. It's in the inward man. So that's how excited John the Baptist was that he had seen the person of Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. This is him. Verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now, I want you to see that the next essential piece that Baptists often, we like to step around it like this, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, it's synonymous.
Amen.
And
we
almost don't like to say it because the Pentecostal is about to get away from us. But I'll say this, that if it's not revealed to you by the Spirit, you're still operating in logic.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What did the Bible, what does the Bible say? I think it's in the letter to Corinth. These things are spiritually discerned.
Yeah.
So there has to be a spiritual element to true salvation.
Amen.
And without that, we're still on our own, and we're still lost, and we're still in desperate need of help. So you see here, not only did John see him, the Spirit revealed who he was. And saying, yes, this is him. It dwelt upon the person of Christ, and he said, that's him. Verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34. And I saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. Preachers, that's our responsibility.
Yes.
That's the Son of God. You know, I love good, sound doctrine.
Yeah.
But you know what my job is? Behold the Son of God.
Amen.
You lost people, and surely a room this size with this many people, there's any good peers that don't know Christ. Mm-hmm. Behold the Son of God.
Amen.
He's the remedy. He's the answer. He's the means of salvation.
Yes.
Plus nothing, minus nothing. You can put sovereign grace in all capital letters, and without Christ, it means nothing.
Right.
See, the penalty had to be paid, right? And the blood did that for us. It was on our behalf. He shed his life's blood, and he saved us. And that John understood perfectly through the person of the Holy Ghost. And the verse 35, and again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Has old Brother David ever seemed repetitive? Yeah, okay, here we go again. Grace, 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 right? Well, very first Baptist preacher preached the same sermon in 2 days. Behold the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was effectual, wasn't it?
Amen.
Those two men laughed and followed Jesus.
Yes.
And that's exactly what was supposed to happen. And so we find another thing integral to belief is what is the result? What's the result? Now, I personally believe that the gospel is entrusted to the Lord's churches. However, the Lord is going to bless His Word.
Yeah.
I was saved in a true Free Will Baptist Church. Free Will right over the door. I went there just last week. A friend of mine made a profession of faith the same day I did. He's 2 years younger than me. He was 52. Out into eternity. Dead. His heart just exploded from crack abuse. You think Greg was saved? Now, I'm not going to judge anybody. But he and I had children that were about the same age. She had some children younger than me. But he was running just not even 2 years ago. He had his children running meth for him. Does that speak of the things of God? What was going to preach at this boy's funeral? Behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
That's what I told his children and his grandchildren. Behold the Lamb of God.
Yes.
What else could I say?
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
So then we find another facet of this beholding Christ. You can see him and not know him. I found that to be very true, all the way from the freewheelers to the tippy-top of the sovereign gracers, that you can know about it and not know it.
Yeah.
That's right. You ever wonder what the weakness of the modern-day churches are about? I believe that's it. We know about it, I was telling some of the brethren, I have a daughter, sweetest child I have. She could grow you 5 points as long as she's loose and healthy. She's missed it so far by about 16 inches. Sweetest child I have. I say that unprecedentedly. But they don't make her saved.
True.
Right. So what do I do? Sarah, behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Right? What else could I do? And so we see that John the Baptist, and he wasn't a Methodist, and he wasn't a Presbyterian. John the Baptist, that was his sermon. That was the theme of his ministry. Now the last thing, and we'll move on a little further. He did not get angry when the disciples left.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a hallmark of love, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
In other words, he had their best interest at heart. He knew that they needed to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to get into it this day, but just to give you, again, your perception of Christ. What are you seeing in the person of Christ? And just right after that, you can read that the rest of this week. He goes in and he cries out to Peter and James, come follow me. And they left their nets and followed him. You know what believers do? They follow Christ.
Amen.
You know what? We sweat the small stuff in modern day churches, don't we?
Yeah.
You know what? And I got over this a long time ago, and I don't mean it haughty, and I don't mean it proud, but if they don't come on their own, I don't need them.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a vehicle. If they need me to pick them up, certainly I'll do that. But you know what? If you have to beg people to church to get them there, you'll have to keep begging.
That's right.
Amen.
You know what? Back in the old days, listen, this is in the 80s. I figure it's time to freshen up the gene pool where I live. So I married a woman from the other side of the river. We was high school sweethearts. And I thought, you know, this will be good, you know. And come find out we were related anyway. we give it the old hee-ho try. But what made me go across the river? Because I love her.
Yep.
And you know what? There's two ways across the river. We have a ferry boat and we have a bridge. Last two functioning ferries in Tennessee are both in Stewart County. And one crosses the Tennessee and one crosses the Cumberland. And you know what? Irregardless, I went to see her.
Yeah.
That drove me to her. And you know what? If you love Christ, if you have to walk 60 miles, you'll get there.
Amen.
And if you don't, you won't. Because see, what's pulling you is love.
Yes.
And that's a commodity. That has to be there. So we find that John ends this identification of Christ in saying, behold the Lamb of God. Now, I ask you again, think back to the day the Lord saved you. You know, I understand what they're saying, but I don't like this term, got saved. You know, you get the chicken pox.
Yeah.
It's a communicable disease, right? But the Lord saved me. See, I was in a pit. I was in hell as surely as I was already there. Ungodly, untouchable, depraved in every way. And He came to me and saved me. That's the way the salvation happens.
Right.
Everything about the man that fell among thieves, he's like unto a lost person. And religion could not help it.
Yeah.
Remember the priest, they was like, ooh, there's some blood. And they couldn't touch that. So they walked on the opposite side of the road. And boy, did that old boy didn't even say, I hope you feel better. And then remember this. He didn't cry out for help either.
Yeah.
That kind of throws the sinner's prayer out the window.
Amen.
And you know why he couldn't cry out? He was too sick. He was unconscious. He had no ability. Just like me, before the Lord saved my soul, I was unconscious in sin. But blessed be His name, He came and woke me up one day. Thank God I've never been the same since.
Amen.
And you know the half-breed Jew, and it's very significant, he was half-breed.
Yeah.
He was a Samaritan. And the Samaritans had very different beliefs than full-blood Jews. They believed that the worship of God was on the mountaintop, where a full-blood Jew believed it was to be in the city of Jerusalem. And so he entered this half-breed Jew that usually would be at variance. So had, you know what the Bible said? Very simple word. He had compassion on him.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between love and compassion? The Bible tells us in the little epistle of Jude, of some have compassion making a difference. Mm-hmm. Now the difference is this. Compassion is love in action.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about y'all, again, it could be because I'm a redneck and from the hills of Tennessee, but me and Don are not one of those couple, oh, I love you so much, and you know, all that. It's just not me and Don. We are two of the most practical people you'll ever find if we marry each other. You know, bless our children's hearts. But you know what I do? I send her something every once in a while. It's not on big days. You know, some things in life will just get your attention. I had a sister that was just 2 years older, not even quite 2 years older, a year and some months. She was diagnosed with breast cancer and lived about 11 months. And I went with my sister, she was a nurse too, and got the extent of the report, and it was just horrible. She and I both knew of our nursing knowledge, there was no hope. And I got Judy home, and she and I prayed, and very difficult time, because like I said, we were just like this. And then I went and I bought my wife 2 dozen roses of difficult to her because she was living. You see, that's what makes a difference. Taking flowers when you die means very little. You ever heard about that? I'm assuming that's just an American custom. We are to be a people that love one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we find then, because of this relationship, and you know the rest of the story, it said that he had compassion on the man, and he cleansed his wounds, and he put oil and wine in, oil on top of the Holy Spirit, the wine on top of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it said he put him on his own beast. And he brought him back to the hotel. You know why? Because he couldn't walk on his own. Wasn't it a wonderful day when the Lord Jesus put you on his own beast?
Yeah.
And took you to the inn.
Amen.
And that's like in the type of the church.
Yeah.
And then he says, he gives the keeper of the inn, he says, here's 2 pence. A day, a pence for each day. Right? If there's any more when I come back, I'll pay. And that's a reference to the second coming of Christ. But so we see that this is the stage that they were left in, and all was well. John knew who Christ was. Christ knew who John was. In the Gospel of Luke, we find some issues. Let me ask you this, and it's probably different for everybody in the room, are you happy? Are you as happy today as the day the Lord saved you? I think it's something that needs to be answered, don't you?
Amen.
And just being honest, there are days that I am, and there are days that I'm not.
Right.
There's days where I'm thrilled. And there's other days that I want to throw in the towel and say I'm done. There's days I've walked away from the pulpit and thought within myself, I will never go back. But then God gave me grace.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Every believer, I believe, goes through that.
Yes.
If you don't believe that, what did God ask from Abraham? Get thee into the Mount Moriah, and there offer thy son, thy only son, as a sacrifice unto me. That had to be hard.
Yes.
They waited a long time for Isaac to be born. But you know what? He was obedient. He said he rose up and he was set, I mean, he was confident to death. The Bible says he woke up early the next morning, ready to go, ready to follow food. And when they got out, well, they got to the Bible says that Abraham saw it from a distance and said, there he is. And remember what Isaac said? And it, what I understand, Isaac was not like this.
Yeah.
He was more like this.
Correct.
He was probably 17. Now, Dad wasn't around when I was a kid. Mom was a little short woman. When I was 17, I pretty much did what I want. And that's not to brag. That's shame on Larry.
Right.
But you know why? Because what was a 55-year-old woman going to do with a man who towered over her? But now there's a good type in that. Abraham was over 100 years old. Here's this brawny 17-year-old boy. He could have knocked that old man down and did whatever he wanted to. Right?
Right.
But he was obedient too. Remember as they was going up the hill? Dad, here's the fire and the wood. But where is the sacrifice?
Yeah.
And those blessed words, God will provide himself a sacrifice.
Amen.
And remember what he said to the heathen boys that was with him, I, the lad will go yonder and come again.
Amen.
So he had confidence that God was going to provide. Hey, you know what? I believe he fully felt if he's cut his throat, God would raise him up again.
Yeah.
But see, Isaac wasn't sinless, so he couldn't be the one.
Amen.
And so we find then, with all this wonderful knowledge, John was rejoicing, he was praising God, but things began to transpire in John's life. You know what? Things are going to begin to happen in your life. I'm not nearly the preacher I was when I was a young boy. You know what? I'm not nearly as zealous as I should be in spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't knock enough doors. I don't point to Him enough. In illness and lack of interest, they begin to take a toll on you.
Yeah.
You see, men marrying men, women marrying women, and people identifying as cats. I mean, where are we?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all get into that, don't you?
Yeah.
That's why I enjoy these little conferences. For a brief moment, you're like, oh, I'm not the only one left.
Amen.
Remember Elijah? He got the hummingbirds too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Got up there on that mountain. Oh, God, I'm left alone. He said, I've got 7,000 that bow their knee to Baal. We're not alone. But sometimes you'll feel like it. And so we find that John the Baptist was very much nearing the end of his life. How many people in here have seen someone die? Pretty final, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've seen more than my share because of my profession. And you know what I found? If they're very cognizant at all, they know it's coming. And I think John did. I think John was extremely discouraged. I think John knew he was at the end of his life. He knew that ungodly woman was going to ask for his head. And he was discouraged. Was he born again in that time frame? Yes. I think salvation has always been grace. By grace, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But the sacrifice had not been offered But he knew who Christ was. But he was discouraged and ready to quit. So in verse 19, "And John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Now, that's kind of a dichotomy, isn't it? Behold the Lamb of God. Are you Christ? Pretty discouraging. You ever been that discouraged? I don't know that I've ever questioned the person of Christ. Probably I have, but I don't remember that. But I have questioned, am I in the right church?
Yeah.
Am I being too harsh?
Right.
Am I being mean?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, it shouldn't be an amazement to us that he was so discouraged that he began to think in that cold prison cells, and listen, it wasn't three watts in a cot back then.
That's right.
Did I really see? Did I truly behold the Lamb? And so he was discouraged. I'm sure he felt like it's time to quit. And so he sends two of his disciples that remain to just go ask him. Verse 20, "When the men were come to him, they say, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Go thy way, go your way, and tell John these things, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John." Now, notice all the things that he says, you need to go back and tell John this. It wasn't, behold the Lamb of God. It was, behold the omnipotent God. You know, sometimes I need to see God as omnipotent, don't you? That means all powerful. That means everything is under his feet. Sometimes I'm just amazed at the filth that we've got going on in our country. But you know what? My Lord Jesus Christ and the great God Jehovah, he's above all that.
Amen.
He says, you let him know.
Yes.
The disease is being healed.
Amen.
You let him know that I interrupted a funeral procession and that boy's back at his mama's house.
Amen.
You let him know that Lazarus was in the tomb and now he's not.
Yes.
And don't you know when they got back to the prison cell and say, well, John, this is what he said. I bet old John's eyes sparked up a little bit. He began to remember and rejoice and think about all the good things. And I bet by the time it was head cutting time, he says, is this where you want it?
Amen.
See, we need that, don't we? We desperately need that in 2023. Now, I sure appreciate what the brother said, and it is embarrassing that people perished in that situation. You know, my first immediate thought too was where they lost. You know, when the Lord Jesus said, hardly a rich man will enter into heaven, that's a very real statement.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I've always been poor. But on the other hand, do you know what happened during that time? Our president's son was excused of most of his charges.
Yeah.
It didn't make headlines, did it? The very same charges that they now are bringing against former President Trump. Very same thing. You didn't reveal this to God. You know, was it the hand of God that called that brought that? I don't know. But I do will say this, we have a very biased media in 2023. One of my mother's favorite sayings was, Larry, you don't believe everything you hear. You know why? She was a wise woman. Don't listen to what's going on. You know what? It's boring, you know, and I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, right.
It's not getting any better, brothers and sisters.
Right.
It is going to get worse.
Amen.
You say, well, how do you know that? I'll point you to the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible says things will wax worse and worse.
That's right.
Amen.
Pretty easy to understand, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what do we do? You know what John did? You know what this helped John do? Focus back on Christ.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? Focus back on Christ.
Amen.
I remember when the Lord saved me, the little freewheeler the Lord saved me in. I don't know. Listen, I'm in Stewart County. We don't have blocks. That's just not how we're laid out. When you have hills and creeks, you have to build your roads around those things. And you don't have blocks. But I ran about a half mile home to tell my mother, the Lord saved me. And sometimes I have to go back to that. And that's been 40, I have to think about how old I am, 43 years in this month. And when there seems like there's nothing left possible to be positive about, I have to think about that run down 49 Highway. Mama.
Yes.
Right. And then I rejoice. And then I think about when old Brother Downs opened the Bible and Brother Larry. Yes, sir. I want you to read these scriptures and tell me Wednesday night what you think. I go, okay, Brother Downs, what do you want me to read? I want you to read Ephesians 1:1 and Romans 9. Come back and talk to me about it. Okay, Brother Downs. I read them. And I read them again. And I read them again. And then I kind of got the Nicodemus feeling. How can these things be?
Right.
Got to church Wednesday night. I ran there early. Well, Brother Larry, what do you think about that? I said, well, Brother Downs, I don't guess it matters what I think about it. And he goes, you got it. And I can look back on that. Because, you know, if I understand the Bible correctly, and I don't like the term, the Lord tarrying is coming. He doesn't tarry, he's coming. It's just not time for it yet.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Right. But if I live to be an older man, you know what? I'll look back on little meetings like this the same way. And when I need to be encouraged, praise God. Look, now we got these things. I'm going to listen to that sermon that Brother David preached in 2023. Poor old John didn't have that benefit, did he?
Yeah.
But we do.
Amen.
And the last thing I'll give you is this. It says of David, and David encouraged himself.
Yes.
And that's what we're to do too. Brother David.